Glory, 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 glory. We are going to enter into the second phase of prayer in some few minutes. You can't come here and not hear the word of God, because every prayer you pray must be founded on the word. Hallelujah. And this month is amount of faith. Today I'm teaching you on the boosters of faith. The laws that boosts faith. Now, you need to really pay attention, because something will shift about your faith life today. Hallelujah. Now, you know, sometimes I now struggle to define faith, because I realized that real men who walk in faith don't define it. The manifestations and the exploits of their faith becomes the definition. If you check your Bible, you'll notice that it was Apostle Paul that defined or tried to define faith. Abraham didn't know the definition of faith. Noah did not know the definition of faith. Joseph did not know the definition of faith, yet in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11, their names were recorded. Which means if you ask Abraham, can you define faith? Abraham can define it. But the expression, the manifestation and the exploits of his faith is evident in scripture. Which means you don't necessarily need to define faith. Live faith. I'm teaching good here. Now we need to understand that faith is in two dimensions. The first dimension of faith is what we call the saving faith. And the second dimension of faith is what we call growing faith. Saving faith is the first dimension, and growing faith is the second dimension. Another name for saving faith is what we call initial faith or the seed faith. Saving faith is the faith that makes you born again. Growing faith is the faith that makes you reign again. I repeat myself. Saving faith is the faith that makes you born again. Growing faith is the faith that makes you grow again. Sorry, that makes you reign again. I'm teaching good here. Saving faith takes you to heaven. Growing faith brings heaven to you. So there are many who have believed in Jesus, and by their faith in his redemptive work on Calvary, they are qualified to be in heaven. But unfortunately, because they have not understood the second dimension of faith, they may not live their victorious Christian life in as much as they are born again. So you need to understand that saving faith is what saved you. But saving faith doesn't do spiritual warfare. Saving faith does not open up doors for you. Saving faith does not cast out devils. Saving faith does not make you reign over demons. Saving faith does not make you reign over your finances. Saving faith does not make you live the victorious life that God intends for you. So we need to understand that saving faith is the seed and the foundational version of faith. So if you remain only in the faith that makes you born again, you'll be shocked about the quality of failure you will develop. So many Christians are crying and say, I am born again, but I'm not seeing anything happening in my life. You don't understand. You think being born again is automatic qualification to victory? You are lying. So hear me carefully. When you believe Jesus, the Bible says with the heart one believes unto salvation. So when you believe in Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. But we need to understand that the faith that made you born born again was a seed that was deposited and invested in you, and that seed is supposed to be watered, nurtured, and that seed must grow so it filters into outlets of the divine life that will bring you victory in every area of life. So hear me carefully. You can be born again and sickness will kill you. So as if Apostle Paul knew, he says that the just shall live by his faith. That faith is not saving faith. That faith is the faith he has developed from the seed faith. So not every believer can walk in victory. You need to listen to me carefully. You understand why things are going the way it is. Because a lot of Christians are expecting that the faith they used to believe Jesus Christ to be born again is the same faith that will deal with demonic problems. They didn't get it. I'm teaching good here. Now we need to understand that the faith that does exploit must be based on three realities. Your faith. If you want your faith to be strong, you must base it on three realities. If not, it will fail. Number one, you must base your faith on the truth of God. In the book of Numbers chapter 23, the verse 19. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. So the first area your faith must be based on is the truth of God. That whatever God says is true. And you must learn to take him at his word. So if your faith is not based on the truth of God, your faith will fail. In the book of Psalm 19, the verse 7, the Bible tells us, Psalm 19, the verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So there is a surety, there is a truth about God's word that does not lie. If God's word said by his stripes you are healed, your faith must be based upon that truth. When Jesus told Peter to come, Peter's faith was upon the truth, come, which is the word of God. And the Bible says, thy word is truth. So your faith must be based on the truth of God. Number two, your faith must be based on the love of God. There are too many believers who think that God is doing things in their life because they live right. There are too many Christians who are almost walking into legalism, forgetting that everything is happening based on the foundation of the love that God has for us. So many are sweating to have what God's love is providing. Our faith must be based on the love of God, that God loves us. Despite our weaknesses, despite the shame we bring to Jesus, he still loves us unconditionally. If your faith is not based on that love, your faith will crash. Because a time will come, you may not be able to live up to the standard. A time will come, you may not be able to live all together worthy. A time will come, you will make some mistakes. The Bible says 7 times the righteous falleth. So there will be time you may fall. And if your faith is based on your self-righteousness, that is when condemnation sets in. Number three, your faith must be based on the power of God. Listen to me. If you get these three areas right, something will shift about your faith. Hear me carefully. You must understand that God has power to fulfill what he has promised in his word. You must believe, or your faith must be based on the power of God. That God is able to do what he says he will do. You must believe in the operational power of God. You must believe in the creative power of God. You must believe in the healing power of God. You must believe in the sovereign power of God. You must believe in the transformative power of God. The faith of the believer must be based on the fact that all things are possible to God. If you don't believe that God can make anything happen according to his will, you will not be able to trust him enough to make things happen. There are some of you who have given up upon a disease because the doctors have said it. But the Bible said in Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? So there are two reports. If you can believe God's power can bring something to pass, that faith can be strong. I'm teaching you there. So your faith must be founded upon the power of God. If you don't believe God is powerful, your faith will die. If you don't believe God can help you build a house, your faith will die. Some of you only believe God can heal you. But the healing you believe is the healing of headache. So there are some diseases you feel only medicine can make it come to pass. Which means your faith in the power of God is limited. That is why your faith in that area is weak. I'm teaching good here. So hear me carefully. There is a reason why you need faith. In fact, 5 reasons why you need to walk in faith as a child of God. The first reason why you need faith is that faith is the connecting link between you and God. Faith is the connecting link between you and God. That is why faith is so crucial. That is why every child of God must work in faith. It is the connecting link between you and God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the verse 6, the Bible says that for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Which means that, listen to me carefully, without faith, your prayer life will not please God. And if your prayer life does not please God, your prayer life will not produce results. Without faith, your giving will not please God. Without faith, your consecration will not please God. So there are many Christians who can do Christian activity, but because those activities are not in faith, there is no power behind it. So faith is important because that is what links you and God. God cannot do business with the one who does not believe. Anything you don't believe in God cannot work in your life. It's that simple. That is why you need faith. If you want to connect with God, we connect by faith. Check your Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. All of them did business with God by virtue of faith. Not because they had degree. Because most of them did not have education, but they had faith. Which means faith is more important than education. I'm teaching good here. Faith is more important than degree. Faith is more important than visa. Faith is more important than marriage, because without faith, even marriage cannot work. I'm teaching you there. Number 2, reason why you need to walk in faith is because the only way to do kingdom exploits is by faith. If you don't have faith and you are casting a demon, the demon knows you don't have faith. They that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Knowing God is a matter of faith. It's an experiential walk. So you need to walk in faith because faith is what guarantees exploits in your life as a Christian. The Bible says by faith they subdued kingdoms. By faith they closed the mouth of lions. By faith the world was framed by the word of God. So hear me carefully. Without faith, there is no exploit. Hear me carefully. If you are not seeing divine exploits in your life, it's because you are not walking by faith. I'm teaching you there. Number 3. Faith is very important because it is one dangerous weapon Satan dreads. Faith is important because it is one dangerous weapon that Satan dreads. Satan will oppress you. He will distress you. He will suppress and compress you if you don't walk in faith. To the extent that even in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, take on the shield of faith. By so doing, you can be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. That's the verse 16. Which means that without the shield of faith, without the believer walking in faith, Satan will throw arrows that will destroy you. Satan can throw an arrow of cancer and it will begin as a symptom. If you don't know how to reject it, if you don't know how to confess the word of God over that symptom you are seeing, it will become a seed that will grow. There are some of you, the thoughts that come to mind is that you will die at a certain age. There are some of you, there's a fear that is killing you, that something bad is about to happen to you every time. Listen to me, if you don't start putting your faith to work, that thing that you are thinking, it will happen. So we use faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Number four reason why you need faith is because heaven and its host, having to recognize you and anything you do without faith. You need faith because heaven has not recognized you and anything that you are doing without faith. In other words, without faith, you are invisible in heaven. Faith is what makes you visible in heaven. Without faith, heaven can't find you. You are not on their radar. Because faith puts you in the realm of the spirit and puts you in charge. Number five, before we continue, faith is important because it is the currency of the spirit realm. There is no spiritual transaction without faith. Hear me carefully. If you want to do business in the realm of the spirit, your currency is faith. It's not dollar. It's faith. It's not CD. It's faith. It's not pounds. It's faith. I'm teaching with you. Now, the message. The laws that boost faith. Hear me carefully. There are laws that can boost your faith as a child of God. Because your faith can be boosted. It can grow. It can enlarge. The first law that boosts faith is the law of seeing and hearing. The first law that boosts faith is the law of seeing and hearing. Please pay attention to this. What you see and what you hear can affect your faith, positively or negatively. Many of you have killed your faith life because of the things you have been viewing and the things you have been hearing. This is a secret that many Christians don't know. You are the things that you view and you are the things that you hear. The things that you watch and the things you hear influences your emotion, influences your decision, influences every aspect of your life. So hear me carefully. If you surround yourself with the wrong information, with the wrong things, I am telling you, it will affect you big time, especially in the area of faith. When you read your Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 18, he says, we all with unveiled face as we behold as in a glass the glory of God are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the same spirit. Which means that what a believer beholds is what he holds. Number two, in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and by the hearing of the word of God. Which means that fear also comes by hearing, but not the word of God. Doubt also comes by hearing. Failure comes by hearing. So if you surround yourself only on newspapers telling you about plane crash, telling you about all the bad things happening in the economy, what is going to happen is that the information you are receiving about the current economy will crush your faith to believe God to walk above the economy. There are some of you who have written yourself off. You have said that what Akufo-Addo is doing, we can't survive. My brother, you won't survive. The things you are watching and the things you are hearing, you'll be shocked. The Bible calls one man in the Bible righteous Lot. but he was in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah, and something happened to Lot. He was a righteous man, but with time, by the things he saw and by the things he heard, he was contaminated and defiled. 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse 7 and 8. Check your Bible. The Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse 7 and 8. Is the projector man sleeping? And deliver just or righteous Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Now look at the next verse. He says that for that righteous man dwelling among them in Sodom, and what? In seeing and hearing, his righteous what? Soul was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So the man was righteous, but his position in Sodom and Gomorrah and the things he was seeing lesbianism, he was seeing homosexuality, he was seeing fornication, he was seeing sin that was upholded. With time, his righteous soul was vexed. Guys, if you are that kind of Christian who spends 4 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you walk in last. And if you walk in last, you won't last. I'm teaching you here. Most of you, you are digging your own grave by the things you are watching and hearing. I can assure you, if you are that child of God who surround yourself with pornography, because you keep seeing it, you become a superstar. I'm telling you. You know why you can't stop? Because the more you see, the more you hold it. The more you behold, the more you hold. So hear me carefully. You strengthen anything you keep looking and hearing. Have you realized that you have never done your morning devotion for the past 1 month? Have you noticed that? You know what is happening to you? You may not know, but it is the social media you keep feeding on. It is taking away and wiling up your time to the extent that it has occupied your heart. So your soul has been contaminated with the filth. So much the love and the joy of spending time with Jesus is gradually waning and fading. If you want to boost your faith, surround yourself with the right things. Hear me carefully. Visions and hearings matters. Try your best every morning. Listen to an anointed teaching from the podcast. Hear it. Because the more you are hearing, the more faith is building. The more you are hearing, the more your soul is being cleansed. Surround yourself with the right thing. Look at the movies you have been watching on Netflix. Once in a while I said conflicts. Sex life. Adulterous wife. Now, while title don't cry scary, but that's what you want. You see, because your soul is contaminated, when you see a bad title, that's what something in your soul is saying. Take it. Take it. Click it. It's good for you. Click it. Before you realize, that becomes a season movie with 10 seasons. Every episode has 24. Calculate your life 10 years from now. So I've seen Christians, they say, I want to walk in faith. Man, I don't know what is happening. My faith is not working. How do you want it to work? When you have never spent quality time with your Bible, how do you boost your faith? Listen to me. It is very simple. You want to boost your faith, hear and see the right things. I'm teaching good here. Even if you don't like it, you will like it too. So we need to understand that both Satan and God are up for the same game. They both need your eyes and your ears to accomplish anything in your life. If God wants to transform you, he needs your eyes and your ears. If Satan wants to deform you, he needs your eyes and your ears. Have you noticed that today you don't go to porn sites, they come to you? Have you noticed that you are watching a program and then it will pop up?
with someone wearing bikini. There was one time I was watching a program and something popped up. When I checked, it was a girl who has popped up and her WhatsApp number is there. He says, do you want to have a new friend? Meanwhile, I don't want a friend. But the WhatsApp number was there and the girl was like this. Now, the beauty alone can tempt you. You didn't plan. So imagine you are recovering from lust. I'm teaching good here. You are recovering from lust. You have started 7 days dry. You finish the 7 days dry. You want to hear the word of God on Facebook. And the girl says, hi. Can we chat? Before you realize the memories you have deleted, Satan awakens them again. He activates them again. That is why it is important to keep yourself on boundaries. One time on Facebook, I went there. I saw someone's story. Huh? His story on Facebook was almost naked girl. That was on the story. I quickly typed his name on search. His name came. I went there, blocked the guy. Reported him to Facebook. If I had the cane, I would beat him also on Facebook. You can't be killing us here. The way when I wake up in the morning, I type the word of God on Facebook to encourage someone. That's the same way the Holy Ghost moves me to do that. The devil can also move someone in the morning. Ah. Then it's a bomb. It's a bomb. After devotion, you receive a bomb as a gift. And the thing will just, have you noticed that your mind loves to keep bad things than good things? Have you noticed that if you want to memorize a scripture, it takes you 2 weeks? But if you want to remember about us, it takes you... Hey! That is telling you there's danger. This your mind knows how to store evil. So if you don't train the heart to watch the right things, hear the right things, it will affect your faith as a child of God. Once I call hospital, no, you say bombay ma, I can't to me bombay because okata when you are not who. So what is happening is that you have fed yourself with the wrong things. Now you are in the midst of trouble. You want to charge your faith. The faith is not coming. Oh, mercy. Obi, I say order. And we say, Yeshua, you were dancing. When you are speaking about evil, you are sleeping. Hallelujah. So boosters of faith, the law of seeing and hearing. Number two, the law of confession. The law of confession. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. The law of confession. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which are not as though they were. The Bible is teaching us a principle here in the word of God. I read a scripture in the book of Numbers chapter 14, the verse 28. He says, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. In the book of James chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that there is power in the tongue. Can you imagine a whole big ship is controlled by a small radar? The Bible says that is how come your whole life is controlled by your mouth. Have you imagined, believed that the Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without void and was the earth was without form and was void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Bible says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Which means if God did not speak light into being, in as much as he was powerful, there will be no light. Think about it. God's creative power was limited. His creative power was limited if he hadn't spoken. You have to learn to speak the word of God. Tell someone, speak the word of God. Please don't be doing rehearsals whilst we are preaching with the light. You'll be shocked to know that David did not kill Goliath with a stone. He first killed him with his mouth. He looked at Goliath and said, "This day the Lord will give you to me, and I will kill you and cut off your head and give your body to the carcass. I'll give your carcass to the birds of the air." He killed him with his mouth. So you see, when David took the stone, the power of God had to ensure that what he said had to come to pass. Most of you don't know that anything you say, you put heaven under pressure if it is done and said in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think verse 13, the Bible says that we all having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, "I have believed, therefore I have spoken." We also believe, therefore we speak. Hear me. You don't believe something until you have started speaking it. Faith speaks. Check it. The spirit of faith talks. It speaks. It says, until you look at that thing and speak something concerning it. You have to speak about your marriage. In my family, nobody marries, but I am marrying gloriously in the name of Jesus. You have to speak it. I told you when we started the building project, two of my pastor friends told me that, "Charlie, this project, the way it is, just look for something small, a wooden structure, and just be in it. At least with time, you may be able to do it." When I pray, I was not seeing that in my spirit. That's why you must not go for yourself. I went to Israel. I had the privilege of going to Israel. When I touched the Wailing Wall, I saw a vision of the story building with car park under. And I told them that this is what we are doing. Everything was designed against us. But the spirit of faith said that, you know, we started announcing it, but by the end of the year, we are moving to the new auditorium. When we were saying that, there was no money. You see, faith does not need money in its words. You can accomplish great things for God if you can learn to picture and speak into the picture you are seeing. I'm telling you, what you don't say, you won't see. What you don't profess, you won't possess. It's as simple as that. So hear me carefully. If you don't speak about the contract, you won't have one. If you don't speak about your business, if you don't speak about your project, you will not see the progress. Hear me carefully. You don't lose anything if you say something. There is nobody who was arrested for saying, "I'm a billionaire." There is nobody who was slapped by saying that I will own 3 cars before the year ends. My generation wants to see the pain gone before they say I'm healed. They want to see things picking up before they see the things working. Listen, if you are that type of Christian, you are a Thomas believer. Thomas, when he was told Jesus had resurrected, he said, "I don't believe. I must put my hands in his side. Put my hands in his hands before I believe." And Jesus came and said, "Blessed are those who have not seen yet the belief." So listen, there is a blessedness for those who walk and live by faith. So the law of confession is the law of possession. Tell someone beside you, if you don't confess, you won't possess. I'm teaching good here. God brought Ezekiel to a valley of dry bones and said, "Son of man, prophesy to these dry bones." In fact, the Bible says, "Lord, they were very dry," which means they were very hopeless. He says, "Prophesy." And hear me carefully. As he began to prophesy, go and read Ezekiel 37. The Bible says, bone came to bone. It didn't say flesh first. It says bone. Then it came to flesh. Then it came to sinews. There were an army that was standing, but there was no breath. He says, Son of man, prophesy to the four winds of the earth and command breath into the army before breath came. So hear me, there was a process whilst he was prophesying. The fact that you said things and you have not seen it does not mean they are not happening. When God said to Adam, in the day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Adam did not die immediately, but he died. Likewise, whatever happens in the physical has already taken place in the spirit. So when you speak, you address the spirit realm. So it may not seem like it is happening in the flesh, but in the spirit, something is cooking, something is baking, something is coming together. So you have to keep talking until you see the reality. Some of you started saying some things. In the next 1 week, you have stopped talking. You have stopped talking. Lift your hand. Say, in the name of Jesus, failure is far from me. Say, in the name of Jesus, nothing fails in my hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, nothing fails in my hand. In the name of Jesus, I can never be poor. See, it's not pride though. It's not pride. Because listen, there is no glory in poverty. There's no glory. People say, if you are poor, you can serve God more. Who said that? In these last days. If you are poor, you can serve God more. You don't understand this thing. If you are staying at Kasua and your church is in Hacho, if you are poor, how can you come to church? If you walk, it will take you 3 days. By the time you get to church, you renounce Jesus. So hear me carefully. There is no glory in poverty. So you better start talking right. And talk, you see, you saying that it doesn't matter, I don't have, it doesn't. You saying that is not a sign of humility. Because the last time I checked, poor people are more proud. If you give a poor person 10 CDs, me and yes, me nib you. Master, who nib you? And yes, me nib you, but what the man and the genius are, but next time, no. That's how they are. My manager. I'm teaching you here. So hear me carefully. There is no harm in speaking. Say things bigger than you. In fact, if your vision is not bigger than you, it was not God who gave it to you. Anytime God wants to accomplish something, the thing must be bigger than you. That's why you can believe him for it. I'm telling you, if I say go and use a sand to build a house, do you need faith? You only need sand. When you go to the seashore, you can just carry sand. You don't need faith for it. But if you are doing something that is bigger than you, you have to trust God to make it happen. Listen, some of you don't understand this thing. You have been having a land, and the land has been there for 10 years. You say you don't have money. Listen, it's not money, it's faith. It's faith. This church has 90% youth, which means every excuse is there for me to give why we can't do a building project. I could have said that, Lord, you understand the situation we are in. We have young people and all of them are students. Some are doing national service and those who are working, their salaries is below 1,000 Ghana. I said, Lord, you understand the situation. So in your right time, no. See, in heaven, there's no right time. Faith is the time. The Bible says faith is now. Now faith is. So listen, you are the only sole determinant of how things should run in your life if you understand the principle of faith. So hear me carefully. If you are that person who is afraid, don't walk with God. I'm telling you, if you are afraid, don't walk with God. Don't walk with God though. If you are afraid to do things for God, don't walk with him. Because you'll be disappointed. And you are wondering, why is God accomplishing things with other people? He's not accomplishing with me. You have to ask yourself a very big question. Can I shock you? This land, if we didn't believe God for it, someone would have bought this land and used it for a warehouse. this land has been here all this while for 100 years, not knowing this land was for Christ's life. We didn't know. There are things that belong to you, but because you have not stretched your faith, those things will be taken by another man because you didn't put your faith to work. And you go to heaven and be blaming God, that God, why didn't you do this for me? God says, my daughter, my son, the whole world belongs to you actually. But if you know how to stretch faith, you can take the things that I've said about you. Those who are clapping are good. Those who are clapping, they will walk in faith in this year. They will walk in faith in this year. So hear me carefully. You know, those times on campus, I've told you several times, I was not a serious student because I was doing ministry on campus. I studied 3 days to examination, but on the paper, I talk. I'm not saying don't learn, go and talk. You'll surprise yourself. But I'm telling you that there was something that God knew that I used my time to serve him. So when I get on that paper, it is tongues I used to pass my paper. So I am telling you the truth. Faith is powerful. Faith, if you walk in faith, is powerful. When we're about to host Prophet Nana Selbukusakode, there was zero in the account. And I said, we are doing painting. We are fixing my office. And we checked the budget, it was over 70,000 Ghana cedis. And I started taking estimates. Where's Kukua? I'll tell Kukua, go and ask for the chairs for the office. And then they said the price is 7,500. I said, tell them that we are giving it next week. We are bringing the money next week. Hey! The curtains. He said, how much is the curtains? They said 2,600. Okay, tell him that next week we'll bring the money. There's no money. In fact, there was a time the graffiato design we did, all the cements for the graffiato, it was about 5,800. I said they should bring it and start working. And I gave them the day. They were started working on Monday. I said I'll pay them on Friday. Monday, no money. Tuesday, no money. It was only tongues. Wednesday, no money. And Wednesday, he called me. He said, man of God, how far? I said, oh, didn't I tell you Friday? You have the money. You know, if you don't take risk, you will never accomplish anything. So now, let me shock you. If Friday the money didn't come, they finished the work. Even if they arrest me in the police station, it has been done. You didn't get what I'm just saying. You didn't understand what I'm saying. Even if they arrested me, the work has been done. And that's faith. I'll find a means of paying. You know where I'll get it? I'll raise funds. Please, am I helping you here? So listen to me. The risk was too much. We ordered for 5,000 blocks, which was costing 45,000. There was no money. That's the block we used to do this one. Mr. Sam will be hot. When I realized that the thing had become hot, then I take the car, I run away. Calling me, I put up the phone, speaking in tongues. See, faith. You don't understand this thing. Yeah, faith must put you in an uncomfortable state. That's when you realize you are under pressure. That's when the grace is coming. The more the pressure, the more the grace. The more the pressure, the more the supply. The more the pressure, the more the wisdom. So it is under pressure. You have to put pressure on heaven. You have to put pressure on heaven. I'm telling you, put pressure on heaven. You say you want to travel to go and do your masters, but as it stands now, when you ask for the price of ticket, you have stopped. Because in your family, that ticket money is your entire year revenue, all of you. So you stopped. You see, that is not the spirit of faith. When they went to spy the land, it was 12 tribes that went to spy the promised land. 10 of them came with an evil report and they said, hey, there are giants, we are like grasshoppers. And God said, if they are giants and you are grasshoppers, and I said you take the land, and you still admit you are grasshoppers and you are about to stone Joshua and Caleb, so be it. Caleb and Joshua said, they are bread for us. So one group said we are grasshoppers, another group said they are bread. It is you that determine the size of your situation. So the same situation can be viewed from two lenses, from two groups of people. The spirit of faith can see an opportunity in a mess. The spirit of faith can see an opportunity in the most difficult pressures. So hear me, I don't care. It is how you see your situation that determines how your situation situates you. So listen to me. If you are walking the spirit of faith, the things that are designed to break you are the things that were designed to build you. So if you are afraid of attempting that thing that God is speaking in your heart, you won't understand this thing. The four lepers had every reason to say that we can't make this thing. But you know what they said? Why sit we here till we die? Check your Bible. All the people in the Bible who said if we perish, we perish, never perished. All the people that said if we perish, we perish, they never perished. So hear me carefully. Step out of your comfort zone. It is in discomfort grace is provided. When you put yourself in a state where you realize that the thing is bigger than you and you go to God in prayer, that's the spirit of faith. Because now you are trusting God. Because now you realize that all this while when you were boasting, it was because you have 5,000 in your account. That's why you were trusting. You say, God is there. I know my Redeemer lives. It's 5,000 that lives. Your Redeemer does not live. It is 5,000 living. When the 5,000 is clear from the account, now when you go to God, you say, Ayahuwah. That's the spirit of faith. I've gone to God several times crying. I said, Lord, we are stuck in a building project. I prayed 3 hours. When I was done, God said, do you remember your 2 books I told you to, I made you write 2 years ago? I said, yes. He says, go and finish the book and launch it. I'll give you money. And I went to take the book. Within 2 months, I finished, I launched it. For the first time, I have done book launch for more than 5 times. The time I even launched 10 books, I had 30,000 and I fell into debt. All of them, God didn't speak. Oh, I was the one who read the book. I spoke. But this time, when God spoke and I launched it, I received 150,000 under one book launch. That's what we used to buy all the iron rods for the top here. So hear me carefully. It is under pressure that grace is revealed. Have you noticed that that thing you call grape drink, it comes from grapefruit. If you don't crush the fruit, the drink won't come. The drink is sweet, though, but it's hidden somewhere. Listen, it is under pressure sweetness can come out of your life. It is under pressure that you can milk. It is under pressure that you can bring the sweetness that God wants to bring under your life. Listen, if you don't learn to put yourself under tough circumstances where only God can help you, you can't walk in faith. Too many Christians are comfortable. God has been speaking in your heart. Do this, but you are thinking of where are my helpers going to be? Where are my helpers going to be? You are looking at your helpers. Meanwhile, God is here, I'm your helper. Your ever-present help in time of trouble. Listen to me. God can work a miracle when you trust Him. The four lepers said, why sit we here till we die? When those four lepers started moving, the enemy's camp started hearing their footsteps as the steps of an army that was coming to fight them. And they all packed their things and they left. And four lepers conquered a whole city. Listen, if you take a step of faith, God will amplify your steps. God will put loud volume on your steps. God will put grace upon your steps. The step of faith is a step to victory. So hear me, the spirit of faith speaks. Learn to give yourself timeline. When we started, when we were planning for Prophet and Sacrifice program, we gave timeline. And you know, the timeline ended on 5th March, 11 p.m. Everything was done. Everything was done. When we entered 6th March, everything was set. Meanwhile, there was no money. There was no single money. We spent over 80,000 to put everything together. And that should tell you that when you are walking by the spirit of faith, give yourself timeline. That this project, by the grace and through the help of God, within 5 months, it will be done. It will seem as though you are joking. But hear me carefully. If you don't speak, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. So the law of confession is the only law that brings what? Possession. I'm teaching you there. The spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Are you edified here? Number three. Third law is the law of fasting and prayer. It's been a long time I spoke about this subject. The law of fasting and prayer. Now, let me really help you. If you are about to embark on a very difficult journey, learn the principles the patriarchs did in the Old Testament. Anytime time the patriarchs were about to embark on a journey that was difficult, when Ezra was about to move to go and do the project God instructed him, there were a lot of enemies because they were carrying a lot of accessories, golds and jewelries and all that to go and help rebuild the temple and the walls. They embark on a fast. Anytime you are doing something that is bigger than you, quickly go on a fast. It will bring a release that is unimaginable. I'm telling you. I can tell you countless number of times we've been doing fasting as a church, as an individual. Fasting, 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 fasting. You may not do the fasting like I did, because 2 years ago I fasted 285 days. 3 years ago I fasted almost 300 days. Fasting, fasting, fasting. When I finished, the church did 100 days. I joined them. So listen to me. Things don't just happen, no. If you are embarking on a journey that is bigger than you, something you are coming to do that your family has never done before, go on a fast. Fasting and prayer deals with your faith. Yeah, man. There was a time the disciples were supposed to cast out the devil. They couldn't cast out the devil. When Jesus came, Jesus asked him, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Then he says, how be it? This kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. Now, most of the time, people think it is just fasting and prayer that cast out devils. But I've seen people who have fasted and prayed, they couldn't cast out the devil. The last time I checked, the Bible says, in my name, you shall cast out devils. So the fasting and prayer was talking about this kind. It was this kind of unbelief. Not this kind of demon. So he's saying that this kind of unbelief can go out except by fasting and prayer. Which means that one advantage of fasting and prayer is that it boosts your faith. You know why? Because anytime you pray, you stand in the presence of God. And when you stand in God's presence, you face God face to face. And everything that is upon God is rubbed upon you. When you leave his presence, you behave like him. So hear me. Fasting and prayer is a major booster of faith. It boosts your confidence. Listen to me. There are 5 reasons every child of God must pray. The first reason is because Jesus prayed. Can you imagine God praying? Every day, Jesus prayed. Even on the day of baptism. In Luke chapter 3, the verse 21. Whilst he was being baptized, the Bible says he was praying. Mark 1:35. He rose up a great while before day, went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Luke 6:12. Before Jesus chose his 12 disciples, he did all night. Can you imagine? Jesus did all night to choose 12 disciples. And even upon all the all night, one was a devil. So what about you who doesn't fast and pray? That means that you walk with 12 devils. You will choose the wrong friends, choose the wrong associations, make the wrong decisions. So hear me, even at the cross, Jesus prayed. So one reason why we pray is because Christ prayed. And if Jesus is truly your example, you must learn to pray. Number 2 is because we are commanded to pray. The second reason why we pray is because it's a command. If you don't pray, you are living in disobedience. Prayerlessness is sinfulness. 1 Samuel 12:23. As for me, God forbid that I sin in ceasing to pray for you. So when you cease to pray, you fall into sin. In Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer. Romans 12:12, be constant in prayer. So prayer is a command. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Number 3 reason why we pray is because life is spiritual. We pray because life is spiritual. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I know you have been reading Psalm 91. And you say, I claim the promise of God. The Bible says, 1,000 shall fall on my side, 10,000 on my right hand side. It shall not come near me. Only with the eyes will I see the without the wicked. I say of the Lord, it's my refuge and my strength. You have been quoting that scripture. Go and check. all the promises there was conditional. If you don't read the verse 1 of Psalm 91, from the verse 2 to the verse 16, it's not for you. If you check, the condition there was he that dwelleth, not he that visited. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That means the one that makes prayer a lifestyle is always in the presence of God. It is him that 1,000 shall fall by his side and 10,000 rise by. I'm teaching good here. Yeah? So hear me. We pray because life is what? Spiritual. The things we are battling with, some of you in your family, it is a code. It is a law. It's a pattern. Nobody gets married. My brother, my sister, you must pray. As you are making a new creation confession, pray. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Go to God. Glory to God. Pray. Add prayer to the glory to God. Because if you don't pray, Satan will make mess of you. We need to understand that there are legalities. And we deal with legalities by legalities. So we are supposed to take advantage of what was done on redemption and use them as a platform for warfare and reclaim what has been taken from us. The fourth reason why we pray is because prayer strengthens our relationship with God. If you want your connection with God to be deep, pray. Your connection with God, if you want it to be deep, pray. And the fifth reason why we pray is because all Christian virtues are nurtured in prayer. If you want to deal with temptation, prayer. Pray lest you enter into temptation. If you want to be transformed, prayer. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. So every Christian virtue, spiritual warfare, when he mentioned all the whole armor, he says pray always with all prayer, which means the armor of God and spiritual warfare is useless without prayer. Are you following this thing? So there is something prayer does to your faith. I put something down. Prayer procures three realities in your life. The first reality prayer procures is strength and energy. Strength and energy. Please, if anyone is dozing around you, be bold enough to tap the person and tell the person that arise and shine. Prayer procures three realities. Number one is what? Strength and energy. Isaiah chapter 40, the verse 30. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and they will never be faint. There is something about prayer. There's something about waiting on God. It procures strength and energy. Listen to me. The spirit realm is controlled by energies. That which that you are binding, if that witch has made more sacrifices, it is possible the witch may win over you. Someone says there is no sacrifice beyond the sacrifice of Jesus. And all the thing, honor. You don't understand? Some of these things, I'm a great teacher of new creation realities. Until I started dealing with certain cases and I came to understand that no matter your understanding of new creation reality, the one who taught it, taught on spiritual warfare. He says, though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The same person spent one whole chapter saying we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. And he says, rulers of darkness of this age. I thought he said we are new creations. Why is Paul talking about this fight? Why is he giving ranks of demons? He's telling you that if you don't take your ground, someone will dispossess you. So prayer procures energy. In Ephesians 3:14, Apostle Paul prayed that you'll be granted with might by his, you strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man. As you pray, energy is built. As you pray, divine strength comes to you. You increase in capacity. You know, the last time I told you that we want to get a plant before the end of the year. And what can be able to take all the 10 air conditions here, including the one in the office, is about 50 kV. KVA. Is it KVA or KV? KVA. It's about 50 kVA. It can power everything we have here. But because we don't have the capacity yet, we have to get some manageable generator, which is about 5 kV, right? 5 kV, which can be able to power the fans and power the instruments. Please, are you getting this thing? Now, the challenge is that the 5 kV is also, it can generate power, but the power will not be enough to power the things here. Please, are you following what I'm saying? So if we want to power all the things here, we need to increase the generator strength. Are you following that? And for you to increase the generator strength, you have to pay more. We did an inquiry for the original. It was 189,000. And even the China is 60,000. Am I teaching good? So now, if we want to shift to be able to power all the things here, we have to increase cash. Likewise, in the realm of the spirit, if you want to generate enough energy to fulfill the purpose God has called you to do, you need to generate enough energy that can be able to handle the realm that you want to operate. Some of you are using 5 kVA to power items that are bigger than it. Hear me? If what you want to accomplish is very great, you will need great spiritual investment. Increase your energy level by prayer. So the more your energy increases, the more your faith also increases. I'm teaching good here. So prayer is a boost of faith. So the first thing prayer procures is strength and what? And energy. Number two, prayer procures transformation. Luke chapter 9, verse 28, the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed. The more you pray, the more you transform. Prayer carries transformation power. You want to transform, learn to pray. So even Jesus transformed by prayer. Number three, the third thing prayer procures is power. Now remember the first one, I said strength. The second one, I said power. We need to understand they're not the same. Strength is for the inner man. Power is for the outer. Remember, power is the ability to do work. Strength is the energy to be able to accomplish it. So strength and energy is for the inward man. But power is for the outward. That's why he says that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. So power is for the outside. It's for without. It's for service. But energy is for within. So when a believer prays, there is an empowerment that comes from above. James 5:16, he says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available. So when you pray, you procure power. So the third thing that boosts faith is prayer and fasting. At least every believer, whether the church is fasting or not, put yourself on a diet, spiritual diet, to fast twice every week. It will change something about your life. Your visions will start changing. Your dreams will start changing. Your reality will start changing. Give yourself to fasting and prayer. Last but not the least, in the book of Jude chapter 20, the Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, which means prayer is a faith builder. When you pray in the spirit, when you speak in tongues, your faith is boosted. I'm teaching good here. Number four is the law of God's promises. The fourth law that boosts faith is the law of God's promises. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse 4. It says, having been given these exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 4. I'm still sure that he's sleeping. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So hear me carefully. If you live by the promises of God, you will be able to partake in the divine life. You know why? Because your faith will make you trust God for it. So the fourth law that boosts your faith is the law of God's promises. You must have confidence in God's promises. You must encourage yourself with the promises of God. Check out through the Bible what God's promises has made available and hold on to them. For he that has called you is faithful. Number five is what we call the law of joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise and worship. The law of joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise and worship. People think that faith is boosted only just by studying the word of God. No. There's something about joy, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. It is number one booster of faith. Learn to praise God. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Learn to give thanks. I remember one thing God told us when we were doing the building project. He said, in every phase of the project, give me thanks. Give me thanks. When we buy sand, we thank God over the sand. We buy stones, we thank God over the stones. We buy water, we thank God over the water. Every Sunday after church, we thank God for the people that came. We thank God for offerings. We dance and praise God. These are secrets many people don't know. There's a woman from Methodist who owned a shop in one of these markets. And one time, there was a fire outbreak. And they said, everybody has lost their goods because the fire has consumed everything. You know what she did? She entered into a room and did praise and worship for 1 hour. Then she came out. He called the family. He said, let's go to the market. When they went there, everybody around there, their items bent, the whole market bent. When they went, only a shop was intact. Only a shop was intact. Hear me carefully. There is something about praise. Learn to praise God. When you hear bad news, praise first. When you hear a terrible struggle, praise. Worship and thank God. Most of you don't see, you are living in a place of ingratitude. God had to deal with my spirit about that. So me, when I come for a meeting, if five people are there, I thank God, the Father, thank you that five people came. Thank you that at least the people came and they came to pray. I am grateful to you for what you have done. Most of you are very ungrateful people. Hear me carefully. If you thank God for five, it will double to 100. And if you thank God for 100, it will move to 200. That's a secret about life people don't know. Anything you thank God for, you multiply it. Jesus had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He lifted it and gave thanks. It multiplied and fed 5,000 men, not even women and children were counted. So hear me carefully. Learn to give thanks to God. Business sales is not moving. Thank God over the goods. Things are not pushing the way you expect it. In fact, you went for an interview and they tell you, walk out. You thank God for it. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials. Say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. Most of you are not seeing things happening because you are not thankful. Lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. For the good, the bad, and the ugly. Thank you. You did not have a job, but you still ate 2 times a day. It's a miracle. You have to thank him for it. You were trusting God for something, the thing hasn't come yet. Still live in the atmosphere of thanksgiving. In the next 2-3 minutes, in fact, you just want to thank God. Anything God has done that has come to mind, how far God has brought you, everything that has happened to your life from January to March, even to April, in fact, even from last year, begin to thank God for. Rise up on your feet and thank God. Just thank God. Thank God. Be very deliberate. Thank God about it.